Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, welcome to Mini Crush.
Wait,
Noel and I were just having good combos.
I know, and then we started rolling, like, in medias res. Is that the term? I think that's a literary term.
Is it?
It's when things start in the middle. You know? It's like in progress, and then you jump in.
What is it called?
In medias res.
The
S might be silent, so it might be in media res.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's a Greek, you know, drama term that refers to dropping in right in the middle of something already in progress.
I'm a big fan of that.
That's what we just did.
Wow.
Because we hit record while we were still talking, and you heard a little bit of that. That was the real shit right there, Chuck.
Yeah, so quick recap. We were talking about music. I've been listening to a lot of here's my Genesis deal,
who I just told you.
Mm-hmm. Love the Peter Gabriel stuff, of course, but I've been really getting into the, like, four albums post-Peter Gabriel, pre-Invisible Touch.
Right.
Really good.
Invisible Touch is when they really leaned into the 80s, excess.
Super poppy, polished.
Square shoulder pad suits.
Yeah,
that
like
kind
Steinberger
of thing.
Basses right. and guitars.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember
right.
those?
You know what I think is really funny, though? I think Peter Gabriel and Phil Collins are artists in their own right. I'm
sure.
more of a Peter Gabriel guy. He was the weird one.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
His solo records, fucking weird.
Yeah.
You know? Collins was way more into the commercial stuff. But I swear to God, man, after Peter Gabriel left the band, Phil Collins is doing his best Peter Gabriel impression, singing-wise. They sound, like, identical. It's a little weird.
Think?
I do.
Oh, see, I don't see it.
I do. Early on, especially.
Okay.
Early on. That's just my opinion. But
And I just dropped that I've been listening to a lot of punk music because we did a Stuff You Should Know on punk. Never gotten into it, and now it turns out I'm really into it.
Is that why your hair's all spiky today, Chuck?
My hair's always spiky.
That's
but
true.
I am getting into punk rock music at the age of 48
mm-hmm.
for the first time.
It's never too late, dude.
It's never too late.
You want to break some shit and start a riot?
No, man. I'm one of those good punks.
You're a chill punk. What are some recs for the people at home?
Well, I've been listening to The Misfits,
mm-hmm.
The Damned,
yep.
The Circle Jerks,
mm.
The Saints out of
okay.
Australia.
Yeah.
And I feel like there was one more.
There was one
I
more.
I always listened to the Ramones, but I listened to more Ramones yesterday.
Yeah. And we were saying off air how those are the ones that maybe elevated the form a little bit, like where there's a little more melody,
yeah.
a little more interesting compositions,
yeah.
whereas some of the more hardcore, thrashy punk bands are not really your bag.
Not my bag.
Yeah.
Certainly, Sex Pistols record is great.
Oh, agreed.
You know?
I think they kind of straddle that line as well, while sort of leaning more towards the thrashy, snotty side, but they're really clever songs,
yeah.
clever lyrics, really cool arrangements. I agree.
Good stuff. We were also talking about podcast movement, which for you... You know, some of you might know about it, but people outside the industry, that is sort of has been weeded itself out as the best conference in the industry.
Yeah, I went once in Orange County in California several years ago.
Yeah.
And this year
we
it's
were both
in,
at that one, right?
That's right. Yeah. This year it's in Orlando.
That's right.
And we're both going.
Uh-huh. And should this will fun. Come out... I think we will have already been. So
oh, okay.
It was terrible.
No,
everyone.
Well,
no.
There's no way of knowing. I'm
it's
looking
okay.
forward to it. Hey, I'm mainly looking forward to it because all of the HSW crew, I'm not sure about you, Chuck. Not that I don't count you in that bunch. But we're staying at the Orlando Hilton, and it has a lazy river.
Oh, you're not staying at the place where the thing is?
It was sold out. That place was sold out.
But
everyone
nuts.
Was like, we're staying at the Orlando Hilton because it has a lazy river. Annie Reese, who does Saver
uh-huh.
and stuff I never told you,
oh, I bet
she's a maximizer.
About the lazy river.
So she knows what's up. And she's like, lazy river, Hilton, Orlando Hilton, got to go. So
oh,
we're all doing
I'm so
that.
Mad. Well, maybe I can come over and laze around.
Of course you can. Laze.
Although, dude, I'm there for 18 hours.
Oh, wow.
And I've got like four things scheduled. I'm pretty much going and hitting it running. Although Tuesday night I get in and I'd love to get a drink
yes,
or something.
Yes, 100%. I get in Tuesday as well.
Okay, great.
Perfect.
Sealed. Signed, sealed, delivered, everybody.
I'm yours for a drink on Tuesday anyway.
All right, Noel, buddy, we're going to start it off with the poll truth. We haven't done some polls in a while. We're going to pull it up with a Tarantino dish because
mm-hmm.
he is on everyone's mind right now.
Yep.
We are going to crush that movie out, which will have already come out. So
yes.
I hope you guys enjoyed that episode.
Mm-hmm. I sure
I'm
enjoyed
really
it.
I'm really looking forward to recording that.
I am too.
All right, Noel. And I want your answers here too.
You got it.
Poll truth. Hold on. My phone's ringing. Here, you should hear. You like that, guys? That's my ring.
That's very clever, Chuck.
That's my voice.
How'd you make that happen? That's.
And I got Emily, because I wanted her to have her own ringtone, to yell baby at me. Mm-hmm. Baby! And so when she calls, it's just her screaming, and people are always...
Too adorable. I can't handle it.
Yeah, it's kind of obnoxious, actually.
I like it.
All right, here we go. Here. Better movie, Jackie Brown or Reservoir Dogs?
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say Reservoir Dogs. But Jackie Brown kicks ass.
Yeah, it got it. Reservoir Dogs won in a landslide, 432 to 157. But 157 people that like Jackie Brown better, that's respectable.
Jackie Brown's just such a classic movie.
Yeah.
It just the way it feels so intentional, and it's less stylized, I think, you know, and I like that about it. It's a good movie.
So I would vote for Reservoir Dogs, I guess. It was probably not a fair way to kick off the polls.
It's okay.
But I'm sorry. All right. Next one, Noel. Better screenplay. This is tough. Pulp Fiction or True Romance? Okay. One of the best scripts to me ever is True Romance. So this is a tough one.
Yeah. I mean, I would say Pulp Fiction.
How can you? I mean, I put it against The Biggest Heavyweight for a reason.
I know. I mean, I like True Romance, but I don't really remember much about it. Like a lot about it. I remember that Gary Oldman has fake gold teeth and a dready wig.
Yeah.
That happens, right?
You got everything here from a diddle I Joe to damned if I know.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny.
I mean, that was a big movie for us. Maybe it's slanted in my mind.
Brad Pitt's on the couch with the smoking weed out of the honey bear.
Because we watched True Romance 40 times in college.
I need to revisit it.
All right. Pulp Fiction 1. 398 to 107. I'm glad 107 people out there appreciate the brilliance of that script.
Totally.
Is what I will say.
And that was also like he was a screenwriter for that and not the director.
Correct.
Yeah.
The great, great, late, great R.I.P. Tony Scott.
That's right, Tony.
So sad about that. All right. Pull truth, everyone. Pull truth. Kills Bills. Should have been one movie, better as two movies.
Well, he's talking about making a third movie.
Of course he is.
And he's also, like, you know, he's saying he only wants to make 10 movies.
Uh-huh.
He's counting Kill Bill as one movie.
So he's getting a sort of a mulligan. Or not a mulligan, but
not
a
mulligan. I think it's in our best interest as fans
of his
work.
Sure, but he didn't release it. That's my whole point. That's so Tarantino. I love him, and he bugs me so bad.
Do you want to watch a five-hour movie?
No, I want to watch a tight three-hour movie
from
that 4.5 hours of material.
I liked both of those movies very much.
I did, too. I just remember thinking, man, that would have made a tight three-hour movie.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Most people like it as two films, Noel. 318 to 148. You're winning.
It's not a competition, Chuck. It's just the polls. It's just the poll truth.
My daughter said that the other day when Emily and I usually, you know, let her win in a stupid, like, race you to the door because we're good parents. But the other day we both just dug in and won, and she went, it's not a competition.
Oh, my gosh. Amazing.
All right. The poll truth. Death Proof. Awesome. Loved it. Or give me a real movie.
Give me a real movie.
A lot of people get mad and say it's very much a real movie. But I remember feeling a little cheated and being like, this was a fun exercise in homage to a certain genre, but come on.
Not much beyond that. He's counting that as part of his oeuvre.
Well, he shouldn't.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, people are mad right now who love that movie. I get it. And they won out, but I will say, Noel, this is pretty close. 220 people said awesome, loved it. 186 said give me a real movie. It's pretty close. Curious about some of these comments here. Our old pal Ethan Yavin says, I love Quentin, a bit nostalgic perhaps, but Death Proof just ain't my speed. Aaron Crabtree says, Death Proof is so badass. That climactic car chase is an absolute knockout and great soundtrack. For sure, it had some great stuff.
Oh, it was a great sequence. Yeah, it wasn't like the bailout when he like forces the bailout or whatever. And doesn't somebody get their legs...
I don't remember even. It's made such little impression on me.
I saw it twice because I saw – it was part of that whole Grindhouse thing with Robert Rodriguez.
I didn't think that was very good either.
It was whatever. The whole thing. I remember at the time I thought it was really fun. I think I saw it in the theaters twice, but I have not given it much of a second thought since.
I thought it was cool that they did it. They did this cool Grindhouse thing, and like, I get it.
I like the trailers. The little trailers in between were super fun.
All like, I'm glad they do that stuff. It's cool that someone's out there doing that stuff, but I just didn't think, like, movie-wise. I need story, man. All right. Pull truth. Pulp Fiction, clearly his best or not his best?
Certainly the high watermark for him. I mean, that sort of established all of his tricks, you know? Like, it took what he'd started in Reservoir Dogs and just pumped it up, you know, to the next level. And that was sort of the tone that he set, where he either had to, like, double down on that stylistically kind of back away from it, like, with a Jackie Brown, you
know? And he doubled down.
Sometimes he backed away. Like, with Jackie Brown, I would argue that that's much more of, like, a laid-back, kind of, like, simpler kind of picture, you know?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It was, I mean, most of his movies are homages to his forebearers.
Sure.
Cinematic forebearers.
God, I can't wait to talk about the new one.
I know.
I'm holding everything back.
It back, Noel. Yeah. Plug that hole. 436 said clearly his best. 319 said not his best. So a lot closer than I thought.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what they, I mean, I think that's a thing, too, because he has, you know, a pretty big catalog of films, but not like a massive catalog of films.
Yeah,
so it's like there's enough to see some shuffling, I guess, you know, of like what your favorites are.
Yeah, yeah. Our old pal Gail Kuntz said Inglourious Bastards, but Pulp Fiction is second. Alex Glasnovich, our old pal, says Jackie Brown is leagues above any other Tarantino film. He's a big Jackie Brown fan.
It's a great flick.
Interesting. Christian Benchy says Hateful Eight is a very close second for me.
And some people poo-poo Hateful Eight pretty hard.
I am one of them.
Yeah.
He said to me it's a Western version of The Thing, and now I'm kind of like thinking about that, and he may be right. But I liked The Thing, and I didn't love Hateful Eight.
Yeah. Hateful Eight, though, is like he did a interesting thing where he – something that I always appreciate when artists do, where he limited himself to a space and yet insisted on shooting it in this massively wide format,
which
I thought was really interesting.
It looked amazing.
But it, like, he used that to great effect by making this claustrophobic space kind of, you really inhabited it with the characters, you know, which
cool. It did have that, like, walls are closing in effect, especially because it was 19 hours long. All right. Most badass woman, The Bride or Jackie Brown? The Bride is badass, but pitting her against Pam Grier.
You know what the difference is?
What?
The Bride is like a cartoon character, and Jackie Brown is like a real-ass woman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So totally, I would say, dude, Jackie Brown wins.
Jackie Brown does not win. The Bride wins. And I think badass, you know, because she fights, and Jackie Brown is like, you know, woman surviving.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, I think it's
but
not,
I agree. Yeah. In IRL, Jackie Brown is clearly the bigger badass.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, she got 116 votes to 348 for The Bride. All right. Pull truth, Noel. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Mm.
This is going to tip your hat at least.
I'm not going to answer.
Okay. A new masterpiece.
Oh, wait. They've already heard the.
Yeah, but I don't want to know.
Okay, cool. Yes.
Don't answer.
All right.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. A new masterpiece. Good, not great. And, you know, I got these binary choices. People are so mad.
I know, I bet.
But for everyone listening that's upset, that's the only way that an admin can do a poll is with two options.
So weird.
This is very close. 175 said a new masterpiece. 180 said good, not great. The crushers have spoken.
Interesting.
Oh, well, you're just like, you can say words.
Interesting.
All right.
You can't read my poker face.
You got a good poker face. Poll truth. Tarantino, the director, one of the best ever, or overall overrated? A lot of people commented both. 341 says one of the best ever. 146 say overall overrated. This is really interesting. This is giving us a pretty clear picture of the movie crushers and how they feel about
I think your binary QT. Choices are fine because they are, you know, they're extremes, but then we see where people fall on that spectrum.
Yeah, but people want to be in the middle.
Yeah,
lot,
you don't get to be on the middle for these polls.
You
people.
Don't. All right, Tarantino, the writer. Distinction, Noel. One of the best ever, or overall overrated. 319 say one of the best ever. 165 say overall overrated. Interesting.
I think he's pretty great.
Overrated, but pop culture wins me over 9 out of 10, so I also love him. That's from David Massey. Matt McCullough, great at dialogue, but I think there are better screenwriters like Paul Thomas Anderson and Aronofsky.
I could agree with that.
And the Gooch, our old pal, for both of these said both. So one of the best, but also overrated. I guess that's possible, huh?
It absolutely, especially with Tarantino, because there's so much hyperbole when it comes to praising a guy like that, you know?
Yeah.
And I agree that Paul Thomas Anderson, his stories are more subtle. Therefore, you could argue that he's better. He's got a lighter touch. Whereas, you know, Tarantino sort of uses like a fucking sledgehammer. You know?
He's Tarantino.
He's gonna bombastic.
He's going to QT it up.
Exactly.
Which I respect.
I respect it too. It's his thing.
All right, final one, Noel. Poll truth. Movie length. Too long and indulgent, or let the man do his thing? Because, you know, that's always my gripe.
Yeah, it depends on how, if the movie's any good.
168 people think these movies are too long and indulgent, and 460 say, let the man do his thing.
They have gotten longer over time, haven't they?
Oh, yeah.
Like, Pulp Fiction wasn't 3 hours.
No, I feel like it was,
that was a tight
two and change.
Two and a half, something
I'm
like
curious.
That.
Let me look that up here. No, we'll keep everyone entertained, for God's sake.
Oh, just gosh. So here's the thing that came up.
Oh, actually, geez, 258.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for some reason, I thought it was like a 220.
Interesting. That is pretty long.
Reservoir Dogs was 140.
Yeah, okay.
Jackie Brown was 240. Yeah, he's always got a lot of story.
He's got a lot of story. Okay.
And then a lot of stuff in addition to the great story.
All right. Well, I stand corrected.
All right. Me too.
I wonder what his longest is. Inglourious Bastards?
I don't know.
I mean, Once Upon a Time was quite lengthy.
I think that was like 250.
Yeah, but that's what Pulp Fiction was, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's his wheelhouse.
I had no idea that Pulp Fiction was almost 3 hours.
Boy, it really moves.
It really does.
Yeah, that's the one that did not feel baggy to me.
No, not at all.
Despite all the stuff.
Not at all.
Inglourious Dead Air, Noel.
Hey, man, listen. So I was sitting at the question mark table. We have eating my
tooth.
You know what? You got to let me finish the story if you want me to entertain the people. All I wanted to say is that Chuck walks up, and I start having a conversation, and every time he shushes me, and
you sound
he says,
like my daughter telling a story.
And he says, save it for the podcast, Brown. And I'm like, well, but what? I'm like, okay, all right, Chuck.
That was pretty funny because you said, yeah, because we can't talk like real people.
We can't talk like real people.
Off mic. And I'm like, save that too. And you laugh.
Oh, I did. Well, here we are.
Inglourious Bastards, Noel, 233.
Oh, my goodness. So Pulp Fiction is on the longer end of his.
It certainly is.
His films. That's interesting.
All right, let's move on from that. And let's move on to a social studies, Noel.
Social studies on movie crush.
I asked the crushers, what's your favorite animal movie? And what I mean by that is, like, the animal has to either be a main character or very, very heavily featured.
Does The Revenant count?
Yeah, see, no.
That bear was heavily
featured. Pretty
heavily
featured, actually. All right, sure. The Revenant. That's Noel.
What about Midsommar? Does that count? The bear?
Oh, gosh.
I'm all about these bear appearances. So, like Homeward Bound?
Well, you know, whatever. You got your Turners and Hooches.
I got you.
Dog's Life or Marley and Me.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be a talking animal.
Black Stallion.
Okay.
You know.
Got it.
No.
Black Beauty.
Well, there's two.
Are there really?
A Black Beauty and a Black Stallion.
Are there? I did not know that.
All right, we're going to start off with Shannon Marie. You think about your answer.
Mm-hmm.
Nalgol.
With an L? Nalgol?
Yeah.
Okay.
N-A-U-G-L-E.
N-A-U. Nalgol.
Nalgol.
Yeah.
Nalgol?
Nalgol, like nautical, right? N-A-U would be nautical.
She's probably like, this is the conversation I've heard my entire life.
Probably so.
All right, she posted The Emperor's New Groove. I bet there will be some animated in here.
Yeah, you didn't specify.
Old pal and top fan, Carolyn Gaston, says Homeward Bound.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Herbon says Jaws. Okay. That's a great point. That's my favorite movie.
Yeah.
So I guess that's mine.
I guess it counts even though they don't really show the shark very much.
Yeah. Our old buddy Jimmy Mallory says Turner and Hooch. Bo Hale says the animated Robin Hood. Yeah, that was pretty great.
Yeah, that one's certainly better than Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Alyssa Galmish says, does Jurassic Park count? For sure.
Of course.
Those are animals.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
I don't even know. Or are they weird lizard people?
Well, they're animals.
Okay.
They're theoretical animals.
I thought they might have been lizard humans.
Turns out they probably didn't look like that, though. They probably had feathers in real life.
That's right.
So that would have been less terrifying, I think, if these creepy, gangly
bird
creatures. Actually, that would have been my hell if they had feathers, because, you know, I'm anti-bird. You know that's about me, right?
Are you afraid of birds?
I'm afraid of birds.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my friend's stepdad is afraid of birds, and I always thought that was interesting. So that, what's the phobia called, do you know?
Probably ornithophobia.
Okay. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have a bird incident?
Yeah, I think so. It's very far in my past, childhood. When I was a little kid, my grandpa would take me to the beach and throw breadcrumbs and the seagulls would swarm.
Yeah.
And from a little child's perspective, I think that probably was terrifying. Yeah.
Wow. Thanks, Gramps.
Yeah. I'm not like so scared of birds that I won't like look at them or they freak me out. But if one comes at me, I'm going to walk the other way.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
What about those New York City pigeons? They're
brash. Don't like them, dude. Don't like them.
They will strut up to your ass.
And they'll swarm as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Good to know, Noel. That explains a lot. Actually, it doesn't explain anything. All right. Let's go on. That was really interesting. Carl Gaffney says, Babe. Good movie.
It's very true.
Maria Marie says, Chicken Run. Ashley White says, The Last Unicorn. Sure, that's an animal. Make believe, but why not? It's really just a horse with a little hat. Jason Rees Rise, top fan and old pal, says The Last Unicorn as well. Jeez. What is going on with that? Do you count a unicorn as an animal?
Yeah, man.
All right.
Mythical animal?
Sure.
You didn't specify.
But then,
you didn't say it had to be a real animal.
Well, I guess you're right. Bonnie Blondo. Boy, that's a great name.
I like Blonnie Bondo. That'd be fun, too, to flip it.
That's great.
Spoonerize it.
Homeward Bound. Another vote for Homeward Bound. Milo and Otis from Eric Keith. I haven't heard of this movie, Toothless. Oh, How to Train Your Dragon.
It's
gotcha.
A dragon, yeah.
Monique Cassie says that. Are those movies good?
People really enjoy them. I have not seen them, but I've heard nothing but good things from people whose opinions I value.
Gotcha. Rob Dickinson says Zootopia. There's a lot of animal things in here, or animated things. Not exactly what I was going for, but I get it. I didn't specify. Ant-Man, come on.
There's an ant in that. He rides the ant. It's got a name.
Anna Shretha.
His ant pal that he rides around doesn't have a name. It's like one.
Was it Auntie?
His main ant.
You're my main ant.
That's right.
All right, and let's finish up here with William Angus, our old pal from... From way back, this goes with Hooch from Turner and Hooch. How long have we been going, Noel?
2205-0607.
All right.
33. That number keeps going super fast, so I can't keep up.
All right, we're going to finish up then with the return of Trope Time. We haven't done Trope Time in a long time because I think we burned it out early on because I had no other material. But we're getting back in our it's been like many, many, many weeks, I think. So we're going to bring it back, Noel, dust it off. We're going to start off with David Mills, one of our old pals, also my cousin's name. He says, I always love the dramatic pause, possibly accompanied with taking off the eyeglasses, looking in the distance, and uttering, my God.
Yeah. That's a good thing for scientist characters to do.
Right. Got to have those glasses come off.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Because that means business.
You take them all the way off, and then you kind of wipe your brow, or sort of like I'm doing, like where you pinch your temples, kind of, you know? And my God, what have they done?
Yeah, there's the other big move that's a for sure trope is the turning the chair around backwards when you got to do some straight talking, you know, like the teacher.
Oh, yeah. Listen.
That's a big
listen,
one.
Kid.
Flip that chair around. Sleeves roll up. This is not teacher time. This is from Alan. All right. Tim Campbell says, look, a distraction. The big goon will always fall for the look over there. That's true. That's an old bit that I'm surprised so many movie characters fall for.
You got to read the one from my buddy Stephen Yules. It's in there. I don't know if you're planning on getting to it, but
do you know what it is?
Yeah, it was about
well, just go ahead and say
car
it.
Headlights.
Paraphrase it.
So it's like someone falls to their knees, like accidentally trips in traffic,
then
they look up and immediately see the headlights accompanied by the horn sounds.
Yeah. There's always a car right there.
There's always a car right there.
Somebody should take the piss out of that one for sure and just angle it like where you know it's coming, and the guy looks up, and it's just like you hear crickets or something, or
there's
a frog.
Like a baby carriage or something like that. Yeah, but Steven is an old pal from my hometown of Augusta, Georgia.
Oh, cool.
Who was a newspaper writer when I was younger and in bands, and he was always very kind to my bands and the music scene in Augusta. Really,
nice.
really sweet guy. Hi, Steven.
That's very, very nice.
He listens to the show.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. He's in the Crushers.
Is he really?
He wrote that thing.
So. I love that. Mm-hmm. Vanessa Lopez, part of the V Squad. The Nessa Squad. I like Nessa Squad. When people have a gun pointed at someone, but no one takes them seriously until they pull a hammer back to indicate that they really mean business. Yeah, that is funny. It's like, you got a gun in my face. What are you going to do with that? Click. Oh, shit. Let me see here. Rick Swain says, walkie-talkies working perfectly fine all movie long until the climax of the film. That's right, when that static comes in.
Oh, but you hear like bits and pieces.
Just enough.
Of what they're saying, right?
Yeah.
Just enough for the audience to know that you're missing something really fucking important.
Get, step, gun.
Die.
Gun, die.
Yeah, exactly. Dinosaurs.
That's whatever. It. Matthew Flint says, the accidental discovery of the master plan. Yeah, for sure. He said, good example, Independence Day. David, you're going to catch a cold. Dad, you're a genius. Yeah, I remember being – I didn't like Independence Day. I had so many problems with that
movie. I mean,
movie.
I was very young when it came out. I was just stupid fun for me.
Yeah.
There's this movie on Netflix that I would love to crush with you sometime. Maybe not. It's just too stupid. It's just like a Lifetime kind of like thriller-style movie. And basically, it's about this woman who
What's
gets
it called?
Into, it's called Secret Obsession. And the whole idea, spoilers, I guess, if you haven't seen Secret Obsession.
Yeah,
but this woman is in an accident and ends up in the hospital with where she's lost her memory.
Uh-huh.
And there's a man who claims to be her husband.
Okay.
But it turns out it's not really her husband. But the funny part is his whole scheme is banking on the fact that she lost her memory, which, like,
right.
When does that ever happen?
Right.
And like no one could have predicted that.
Right.
And she discovers his master plan by noticing that all of the photos in quote unquote their home have been badly photoshopped. She notices that there's a reflection of the back of his head where his hair is different.
Oh, wow.
And so Photoshop fail is what reveals his master plan. And then it all goes downhill
That's
from there.
Weird.
It's a really fun, bad, schlocky piece of shit.
I love it.
I loved watching
it. Yeah, those, man, when it's such a tenuous or, you know, just convenient thing, it's always like that. Our old buddy Adam Pelletier says, Chinese food takeout when a family is somehow down on their luck or in disarray. Absolutely. And it's always eaten out of the takeout containers. That's how that works. It's very easy, and I think prop trucks keep Chinese food takeout stuff just on the truck.
Because,
you know, what are you going to do? Well, they're eating Chinese food.
I think that's one of those things, too, where maybe you're right. Maybe it is a product of, like, actual availability or convenience of production type stuff. Or maybe it's also just, like, we're keeping that tradition alive. You know,
right.
The idea of, like,
true too.
You know, we're just slumming it. You know,
it's
we're at home.
Uh-huh.
We're eating out of the containers. Because it's usually during a part where people are sad or something's happening. People are like there for each other and kind of like backing
right.
each other up. And it's like, you know what? We don't need any fancy food. We can just eat at the takeout.
That's right. We've got orange chicken. We both simultaneously.
We did.
Our old friend, Melinda Bacalo. When the really bad guy drags out the torture of or killing of the good guy, of course, allowing ample time to escape or to be rescued. Yeah. And she said they actually made fun of this one in Austin Powers. For sure. All right. Drink, everyone. Let's go with, oh, here it is. Your friend, Stephen Ewells.
Ewells. I've made that mistake before as well. Sure. He has another one? Or you just found the one that I mentioned?
No,
already.
I found the one.
Cool. Did I do it justice?
You did it justice.
Yeah.
Someone falls in the street, hears a horn blaring, looks up before, well. He says, no one, he indicated to, though, no one ever gets hit by that car.
Right. It's always a near miss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says the same applies to trains. Very true. All right, we'll finish up with Jennifer Sawyer. She says, every dying person in a bed reaches out and grabs an arm and says, just make me this promise. And it's usually... promise you look out for blank. Promise you look out for my daughter.
Yeah. Make sure she gets a good education.
Don't let her to grow up Republican. That should be in a movie.
Limit her sugar intake. She has a tendency to get dehydrated.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. All right. I guess we're done, Noel.
I think so. We're canceled.
Okay.
It's 30, 20, 21, 22.
That's perfect.
23.
Goodbye, everybody.
All right. See you.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.